So let me see if I can find here, just a moment, I'll find what I'm wanting to read. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? I love to hear from the audience to the extent I like to know if they're getting anything out of what we're saying. I want to read from St. John. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. This is in the 19th chapter of the book of St. John, 23rd verse. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four part, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, I want to think just a few minutes on the thought, it is finished. I said quite a number of things this morning. Some deep things. And you could have been listening and could have heard every word that I said, and still not have received the message from the Spirit. The Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. For having ears to hear, Jesus said as he upbraided those in his day, he said, you have ears to hear, but you hear not. That is, you have natural ears to hear natural things, but you do not have spiritual ears. Only the spiritual man has spiritual ears. As the Bible said, Paul said, though the outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And so then, you might have eyes to see, but you may never see anything but Brother Pike and Brother Taylor standing here, or whoever comes up behind the sacred desk. You may never have eyes of understanding that's enlightened to be able to behold the Master, ought to see that it's not us speaking unto you, but Christ speaking unto you, as to hear and to see. As it was with Jesus, he said, I do always the things that please my Father, or that I see my Father do. There's no record where he ever seen the Father at any time, as to say with natural eyes to behold him, and yet he declared that he saw the Father at all times. Which means through his eyes of understanding as to that eye of vision, looking into the world of godliness, he saw the angels and he saw the Father. He heard the voice of the Father when others thought it just thundered, but it was God speaking to him. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. And all of a sudden the thunder rolled, as somebody thought, but it was the voice of God. And the Father said, I have and I will. Or that is to say, I come in your name, Father. Now do great mighty wonders and signs through me, and let words utter forth from my lips that man hath never heard. Never a man spake like that man. So in this people will praise the name Jesus, because he came in his Father's name. And when they glorified the name of Jesus, they was glorifying the name of the Father. Glorify thy name, he said, I have done many things through you, he could have said, and I'm going to do many more to glorify my name. And son, because you're manifested my name, I'm going to give you a name that no one will know but you, and to whomsoever you reveal it. Which is my conviction that what the Heavenly Father was saying is that you've manifested my name, and that name has salvation, because my name brings me present, the great Holy Spirit, and in doing that it brings salvation because life is with me. And because you've done this, I'm going to give you a name, and this name you're not going to share with anybody but your bride or who you want to share it with. The new name of Jesus. So then we see here Jesus hanging at Calvary. When all these things were done, as to his crucifixion, he said, "Father, it is finished." He lifted his hands to heaven and he said, "It is finished." Now to you and I, that's just a lot of words, you know, or a few words we'll say, not a lot of words. But that's just a few words. We say, "It is finished." Many times we repeat that. Many times we say that in preaching, but very few people in the world today understand what he meant when he said, "It is finished." But when Jesus said, "It is finished," what did he mean? He meant it was finished. Someone would say, "Well, I know what he meant, Brother Pike. He was saying, 'It is finished. Father, I've now finished everything.' That is to the extent that my ministry is finished. My life is finished, and now I'm dying. Now I'll come to you." But that wasn't what he was saying. Jesus was saying, "All things are finished. Everything that you ever desired, Heavenly Father, everything that you ever wanted, I've accomplished that since I've been in this world. And I've done that. I've completed everything. There's nothing that can be added or taken away. And Father, as I hang my head here to yield up the ghost, it is finished. All things are finished. Everything is finished. The world has passed away, Father, and the world is now finished. The problems have passed away. Sin and death has passed away. All trouble and heartaches are passed away. No more problem, Father. Everything is finished." And so he bowed his head and yielded up the ghost, and the ghost, being Christ that had entered into that body through the birth there of Mary, went back to God who gave it. That is to say, the same Holy Ghost, the same Christ, that same Holy Spirit that was before that body ever was formed from the womb of Mary, that Savior, that Christ, that was with Elijah, that was with Moses, and Acts of the Apostles, Peter refers back to it and saying that the Holy Ghost in that day, back yonder, at that time, said this great, wonderful Holy Ghost. That's the same Holy Ghost that we've got today. See, it came and entered into the body, and the body was made spirit, or made word, the word made flesh, as we say. So then we see this great, wonderful Spirit of God. He's here today. He has now, since Jesus departed, he has now entered into Brother Pike. And today he's in me, the way that he was in Jesus. He came into Jesus, that Spirit, that God. He entered into the God body, which was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he entered into it in his fullness. And then when he had finished it, he departed that body. He laid that body into the grave, departed that body, and went back to God. And when he went back to God, that is into the Spirit, he returned on the third day to come and to pick that body up. And then take that body to set it yonder at the right hand of God on the throne. As I have overcome, speaking of the bodily part now, and sit down in the throne with my Father, so shall ye sit down in the throne with me if you overcome. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. So then, the 12 apostles, as I said this morning, overcome. And they sat down in 12 thrones with him. And everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No one shall be above his master, but everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. And so then when we overcome, then we enter into the Spirit, we enter into the throne, we sit down with the Heavenly Father. For the Bible said, and the child was caught up to the throne as soon as it was born. Which means every member of the body of the Lord Jesus, when it is born again, your inner man born again, it immediately is caught up to the throne of God. Which throne is on the inside of you, in that the kingdom of God is within you. the law and the prophets until John. Since that time it is finished. Since that time the gospel has been preached. Since that time the veil has been rent. That is, the veil was the world. The veil is the world. All that is of the world is a lying vanity. It's a veil. And the light of God rends that veil. And the light of God causes the world to dissipate. And all that is left is the spiritual beings that shall inhabit the world of angelic beings. There is another world. You don't see the world, but there is another world. There is the world of angels. They are invisible, like God is invisible. You know, we place all the emphasis on the flesh and on this world. So to us, the greatness of life is this world. But this world is the least part of it all. This world is vanity. This world will pass away. And he that doeth the will of God will live forever. It is the invisible world that is great and mighty. So we place the greater emphasis on that of less importance. Our evaluation is not proper at all. And we give priority to the wrong thing. Because we think wrong. We're born wrong. We're perverted in our first birth. And we come into this world, born to Adam to die. Eve, the mother of all living, the one that played the harlot. But when we're born again of that Christ, of the Virgin Mary, then we become a living example to all people, and we become a living being that shall never die, that shall never pass away. Having passed from death unto life, we are now alive forevermore. So then when we think about this, we realize that Calvary, it was finished. It was finished. And this is what I want to get over to you. We have to remember that it's not at all the way we see it, with eyes that behold lying vanities. It is not at all the way that we feel it, as with human senses, as to the creature that's made subject to vanity. It's not at all like that. See what it is? It is a great God. It is a great mind. It is something before the world ever was, before you and I ever came. It is a great life, a state of being. And this great life has projected himself through the instrument of human beings, a human instrumentality, and he hath projected himself through trees, through birds, through animals, this form of life, as to water life, as to blood life, as to spirit life, as to the natural world of vegetation, as to the human world of human anatomy, and as to the angelic world of spirit. So then God has projected himself in a three-dimensional projecting. That's why they teach him Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that's why that the Bible teaches these three are one. And that is why that water, blood, and spirit agree in one. Because they are from him for a purpose. As to the motivation and end of it, as to a oneness in God. Because they come from God. They spread out. A little root, and then a trunk, and then many branches. But in all reality, it all belongs to the root. Whereas the Bible said, if God had not left us a root, then we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. But the new tree on this side of Calvary, and that John cut down the tree of knowledge of good and evil, on this side of Calvary is the tree of life. And the Bible said the root and the offspring of David, even the Lord Jesus, is the root to this great tree of life of which there are many members. And this family tree, this is where you and I come from. This is what we belong to. All right, so this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. Our names was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before we were ever born into the world. The children Esau and Jacob, having done no good or evil, that it might stand of him that calleth, and not of him that worketh. For the Bible said the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, but it's to God. So then, we see that before we was ever born into the world, having done no good or evil, God looked down and he saw us, and he says, I love you. And he looked down and he saw the wicked, as to the seed of corruption and the tares. And he said, I hate you. And you are wicked. And I will pursue you every day till you perish from off of the face of the earth. So then we realize that in this, we differentiate and tell the difference between the God children and the satanic terrors. So though the rain comes on the just and the unjust because of the blood on the seat of atonement, and though they're nourished to the full, and David said they dance and they eat, and there's no bonds in their death, and yet it appears that we're killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are the just dying for the unjust, and we are dying in the body, and though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And though they are flourishing in the outer man, and they have everything as to the flesh, and that Satan is their master, and he savors the things that be of the flesh, yet they're dying in the spirit every day. And so then we see life is in the spirit. Life is not in the flesh. Satan is the prince of this world, and Satan is the ruler in this world, and Satan savors the things that be of this world. But Jesus said, come out from among them, be a separate people. You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world because Satan is the prince of the world, and I don't want you down there where he's at. So I've killed the body in that the body is sinful. Paul said the body's dead because of sin. That is no good thing working within the flesh. God had to kill the flesh. It's sinful in his sight. Sinful flesh, corruptible flesh, all flesh has corrupted its way before God. So God killed it. He done away with it. In the days of Noah, he done away with it. But then when flesh began to multiply again, he saw that it was all in vain to the extent that flesh was still corruptible and that man's heart was continually evil and there was no good person in all of the world. So then God came down from heaven and God made himself a body called the Son of God. And the Bible said God was in the world and the world was made by God, but the world knew him not. And so then Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, I say again, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us. So then we see that it was finished. It was finished. God, who created all forms of life, that he has the invisible forces of life, might in many ways manifest himself as to the fragrance of the rose, as to the wind that cools when it's hot, as to the dewdrops that refreshes in the morning. We said as to the wind under the wings of the birds. And so then we see that all things are good and all things are of God. And the terrors have come and Satan has come and Satan is living within his children and he's taken over the world and he's put us in bondage like the Egyptians did down in Egypt. And we're under hard bondage and they take all that we've got and they mistreat us and we can't do anything and they boycott together in their little societies. No matter what you try to do, the only way that they'll deal with you is if it's profitable to them. If they find out that you're profitable to them, then they'll deal with you. Otherwise, they rob you. They cheat. Satan is the thief and a robber. He comes, he steals, he cheats, he kills. So then we're oppressed all the time. But nevertheless, the Bible said the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and the rich have their consolation. Not many mighty are called. So then we find that in this, in the simplicities of life, God is going to the great multitude of people because the great multitude and mass of people are simple people that are in poverty or that doesn't have very much. And there's a very, very small percentage as to those that are rich and wealthy that have taken from the others and enslaved the others. And God said, let it be, for this is the land of Esau. We're passing through the land of Esau. Your inheritance is on the other side. You have yours on the other side. So then he said, you just go ahead and work with God and do what you can to sacrifice, and I'll bless you. But I want you to notice this. God, who intended to move into his creature, that he might manifest himself one to another as to members, as to the children of his own family, Satan, having brought about the thing he did through the deception of Eve, entered into humanity and has had control of humanity as to the first birth, and the sentence of death are in them, in that the Bible said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So that in Adam all die, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not knowing how to perform good, The axe is laid under the root of the tree, and maybe one of these days we'll be able to comment a little bit on the trees. But right now, going on with the theme of our thought, I want to get something over to you that I feel is necessary for your change. Now, God, having been robbed of the body, the dispute is over the body. Because the body must be redeemed. And the Spirit has come to redeem the body. First, the price had to be paid as to death, because the sentence of death was in us. And the price had to be paid, which God Himself in His own body, the Lord Jesus Christ, as beholding Him as the Son of God, He came in our likeness and paid the price so that we could be free from sin and death, the law of sin and death. He folded it up and laid it away. We can't transgress the law, so the wrath of God can never be upon us anymore. Because the only way the wrath can be upon you as to the law is to transgress the law. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. So then there is no law, there's no wrath. For the Bible said we know that the law worketh wrath. For you can't keep the law. But Christ kept it for us, paid the price of death because of the transgression, delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. So then we know that by faith, we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and that is why the angel appeared on the hillside where we've been right there and seeing the place. Appeared on the hillside saying, peace on earth now. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. All of these wars, God isn't for that. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. So then from God there is no more wrath because there's no more law. But there's a good outlook from God unto us, saying, through Jesus Christ that was delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification, because you're justified in my sight, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time in the Lord. Worship the Lord. Be free from sin. Be free from sickness. You know, a lot of times we don't understand. The Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. See, we have sicknesses, we have nerve problems, we have financial difficulties, we have all kinds of family problems, all kinds of problems. See, but the Bible says that if God has given us Jesus, His Son, shall He not with Him freely give us all things? And this is what we want to remember, is freely. Freely, when you go to pray and you're trying to get your healing, and you go to pray and you're trying to get a blessing, and you go to pray and you're trying to get God to do something for you to take care of your problems. See, the thing that you want to remember is the Bible said, shall He not freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. Not in a way as to we have to wrestle and beg and these kind of things. If He hears us, and we know He does through Jesus Christ, for His ears are ever attentive toward the cry of the righteous. So then we know we have the petition that we desire of Him because He heareth us. Those that cannot get the petition that they desire of Him is because they're not born again, and they can't see good, and they can't hear God, and God can't see them because He can't look upon iniquity. So then we know that we're children of God. We're children of light. See, shall He not freely? He hath given us, the Bible says, Peter says, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life. Everything that we could want. Everything, which means the finance that we need, the health that we need, the joy that we need, the peace that we need, the protection for our loved ones that we need, to watch after our little ones, transportation in life. It doesn't matter what it is. God has given us all of this. If it's the wife and the husband getting along and being linked together, and the family compact and prayer to love one another, God has freely given us all of these things. I claim all of those things. My family and I, we get along good. We have our little crosses, you know, here and there, but we get along good. Because I claim that. I say, Lord, I'm going to love my children, and my children are going to love me by faith in God, because that's part of what You've given me in life. And I say, Father, and I'm going to have the financial needs that I need, because You said that my God shall supply all of Your needs, whether financially, physically, whatever it might be. God will give me peace. God will give me healing. All of my needs. You know, the Lord says to me, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How am I going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature if I don't have transportation, if I don't have the finance, if I don't have my health? I have to have my strength. Isn't that well? The Bible said, your strength shall be as your day. All of these things, see, if God doesn't protect me and keep me alive, how can I go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? So then the Bible said, and God shall with Christ freely give you all things. So you don't have to beg, you don't have to plead. You just go there, and before you can even ask, you say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was praying for something here the other day, right in here somewhere, and I started to ask about it. And I said, no need. I said, when I started to ask, I said, he heard me and answered me immediately before I ever called. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. But nevertheless, let me ask you a question. Didn't the Bible say he's already given you all things that pertain unto life? Didn't the Bible say by his stripes you were healed? Didn't the Bible say this was given to you in Christ before the world ever was? Isn't that right? Isn't it at Calvary that Jesus gave you the abundance of all things when he said it is finished? Didn't he do that? If he's already given it to you at Calvary, that means before you ever called, he heard you and gave you all things that pertain unto life. So then what must I do? Must I beg and plead and do all these ritualistics as to get to salvation, to get to healing and all these things? Absolutely not. All I have to do is believe. For the Bible said, he sanctified thy heart by faith. And the Bible teaches that he heareth before we call. And the Bible said that we believe our way unto righteousness. So I'm not working my way unto righteousness. I'm believing my way unto righteousness. So then Jesus said, it is finished. I've heard you before you call. Before a child goes to college, the father puts the money in the bank many times. And it's there for the child when he gets ready. And a good man leaves his children an inheritance. So then we see something that God has done for us. And this is the point that I want to get over in our little short sermonette tonight. See, and that is that we are not waiting for things to take place. We're not waiting for times and seasons. It has nothing to do with faith. We have escaped the world. And the world has passed away. And now we are they that dwell in heaven with all things. And we already have passed from death unto life. And we already have all things that pertain unto life in this world and the world to come. We already have all of our needs met according to his riches and glory. We already are the sons of God. We already are in heaven. Am I then waiting for a rapture? As I said, I'm not waiting for a rapture. I tell you again, the word rapture means that after that we are changed from the ground, we're caught up to meet him. That is caught away. That's rapture. That's not biblical terms. So then why am I waiting for a rapture? I'm changed from glory to glory. From understanding to understanding. The church is in error. Sitting around thinking that some natural thing is going to happen to them to catch them away. See, I'm moving on by faith to faith as one in school from grade to grade looking for a diplomacy that at the ultimatum I might be changed in my body because inwardly I'm already a son of God. And the appearing of that as to manifestation of my body depends upon the redemption of the body as to the law coming in that I say again that the inner man is born to the spirit but the outer man must be changed or adopted into the family. That is, he must be adopted by law so that he can go through the chains. My spirit's already gone through the chain. See, I'm not, as I said this morning, as Israel or the woman that's illuminated by the Shekinah. I'm born to the Shekinah. As it was said, the sun shining within his strength, and I am his body, members in particular. So the light of the church is greater than the former light of that was in the wilderness. Your tabernacle, your temple. So here we are. The house dissolved as the one that we're in. We have another one eternal in the heaven, not made with hand, which is the body of the Lord Jesus. Even the house, even the mansion, even a membership of his body that we could explain if we took a lot of time here. But going on, we say it is finished. What is finished? Everything is finished. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was cast out, the expulsion, when the man-child went up. When did the man-child go up? Jesus was the man-child that was resurrected from the dead and went up. Who are you and I? We're the man-child. Members in particular. He's the head. I brought out this morning concerning the travail and why it went that is to the Jews. See, so then, you've been caught up even to the third heaven, the mind of Christ, the revelation. So then, what is God doing? We say God is taking it day by day and year by year, and this is going to happen today, and the calendar's year said this for tomorrow, and day after tomorrow I'm going to have another birthday, and on down the trail, and whatever it might be over yonder. You know, that's our way of thinking. But I want you to know that there's no such thing with God. That is your lying vanities. That is the world as to the fall. When Adam went out of the paradise of God, which was heaven, and went into the briars, and that's the world. And Jesus folded that up and laid it away. John cut that tree down. That world's gone. This is heaven again. Your spiritual man is already in paradise. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, he said. But this I know of the man that was caught up to paradise. See, so we're already in heaven. He was the overseer of this church. 483 years, then the gap in between there, the spiritual, and then comes the Jew. When that last 7 years comes in as to the tribulation, another earthly perspective. But when John saw that earthly perspective as the first of the tribulation coming in, 144,000 being sealed, he'd already looked away to heaven. And in heaven there was the great multitude that had been caught up in the presence of God, that had went through that door in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation as to the door that he saw open in heaven, that Peter opened there at Pentecost, Jesus saying, I'm the door hanging between heaven and earth. All right, the symbolic thing is shepherd that went up, as we say, so the astronauts could pass on through to go to the moon. He got beyond the barriers and beyond the powers of gravitation. All right, so we see the great wonderful things that's taking place. And we know that God is with us. And we know that God is helping us. And we understand that we are already in heaven. The Bible said you are already in heaven. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Rejoice forevermore ye that are in heaven. For you're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received unto the restoration, the restoring of all things. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, which is in your spirit, whereby that spirit is sealed unto the day of the redeeming of your body. And I say again, the change of your body must be an adoption. It cannot be born again. It must be an adoption. And that adoption must come in with the law. When the Jews come back in, the rule of the law will be there again. And this body will be proven to be righteous by the body of Jesus. And the law will stand as a witness. Witnessed by the law and the prophets, the Bible says. And this body that Jesus redeemed, it will be proven to be that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the non-corruptible, non-dying body that has been changed in the glorious liberties of the sons of God as the creature, as the image of Adam who was not in the transgression. And our lawyer will prove that we were never in the transgression because we could never transgress the law because we're not under the law. So then as Enoch, who was not under the law, was translated by faith that he should not see death because there was no law of transgression. Therefore, he pleased God with his testimony, and he was translated that he should not see death. All right, so what I'm saying to you is that this is a revelation. The whole thing is not a day, a time, or a season, or as to yesterday, tomorrow, or the day before. It's not that. It has nothing to do with that. It is a revelation. And when the world passed away, Jesus said it is finished. And from that time, the revelation as to the preaching down through the church ages has been here. And the light sevenfold in the end time, much, much greater than it's ever been. See, because this is the revelation. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the revelation? What is the revelation? The revelation means His will revealed. All of His works revealed. His mind revealed. What He hath done revealed. That what He hath done had nothing to do with days and months and years. That was a lying vanity that came in at the fall of man. But this thing is the great thing without days, without months, without years, without any carnality. That it is a state of mind and understanding, light, precious light, most precious, as the Bible said, and her light was most precious. Seeing that you've come to this great wonderful thing now, as to the church of the firstborn. And now, it is being revealed to you. How many of you understand what I'm saying? It is now being revealed to you. You say, what is being revealed to me? Eternal life. What is being revealed? Your Godship. What is being revealed? Who you are. Where you are at. Not where you're going, but where you're at and where you've always been. You understand what I'm saying? So then it's not waiting for a day that something might show. That's not what it is at all. See, not waiting for a time, a season, for something to show. That's not what it is. But the thing is this. That is that all things have taken place and all of His works are known unto Him from the beginning. And God is saying to you and I that I'm only revealing to you your state of being. I'm only revealing to you life and its consistency or constitution. I'm only making known to you now. The veil is rent. It's dissipating and the light is here as the light eradicates the darkness. You don't know where it goes to. See, this light of God, this light most precious, this mind of God, this understanding is now dawning since Calvary. The day star in your heart as you're able to take it, proportionally speaking, measure by measure. And thus it is coming forth to you. So then it wasn't something that is to be done day by day, hour by hour, or something that happened to you or me or them or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a natural carnality. All of those was types and shadows and an intellectual indoctrination through the fall of the garden that this invisible world might have something to use as a type, as a shadow, as the formula that it might use, something you could see and taste, hear, understand, whatever through these things, as the revealed sweet by tasting bitter. That sweet might be revealed to your taste because of the bitterness. That life might be revealed to you because of death. And that good feeling, sereneness, might be revealed to you by pain and misery. That peace might come to you and be revealed to you because of the troubles and whatever that forerun it. And you could differentiate and tell the difference as good and evil. So then you had to go through that stage. You could never have been a God. You could have stayed in the garden, but you'd been like a human being, just overshadowed, illuminated with life. But you'd never had the innermost life to be a God on your own, to where you couldn't die. There's no way you can die. See, God swore by Himself because He could swear by no greater that you wouldn't die. See, in the garden, Adam and Eve could die. That's why they did die. And that's why all of their children died. They got up under the illumination of the great spirit, the great light, life. But beloved friend, it's not so with you. When you are born of the Holy Ghost and you're born of the Spirit of God, you can't die. Not even God can take your life. Come on, folks. I said, not even God can take your life because He has made you equal with Himself. And not even God can take your life. Someone would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. I think you're going too far. No, that's just how far it goes. See, God swear by Himself because He could swear by no greater, saying, Brother Pike, I'm going to give you life and I'll never take your life. And inasmuch as it's impossible for God to lie, not even God can take my life. So then He hath made me to be eternal. That means that you are inwardly born of the promise of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and you are self-sufficient in Christ, and you are alive forevermore. Even gods that cannot die. So, I'm telling you that it is a revelation. The whole thing is a revelation. Heaven is a revelation. It is an invisible world. All that you are, all that you'll ever be, all that you've ever been, as the great God child, is a revelation. It has always been that you've been that in the loins of your father, and you went through this process as to the good and evil, that you might develop this mind of understanding and then be changed into Godship. That's why the Lucifer said, God doth know that the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall be as gods, and your eyes being opened. That's true. To know good and evil. But He didn't tell about the death part. But nevertheless, God allowed that. So then, where are we today? We're down here without time, without season. We sing the song, and time shall be no more. So we're here in the world in a time and a season, as you would call it. And this is the fullness of time. So then the fullness of time came at Calvary. Jesus said, it's finished. Peter said, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Jesus said, the harvest, the end of the world. Said, it is now finished. The fullness of time. God hath now put himself in a human body and looks through the blood as to the life upon all. And nothing shall exist except that which can come to him through Jesus Christ. That he draws to himself through the Lord Jesus. So then, we see that the world ended. And here we are. There's nothing left but heaven. See, the world is gone. The world ended, for you and I, that is. Satan is gone. The body of death is folded up and laid away. The dispute was over the body. The body's gone. Now he was delivered for the offenses of the body. Now he's raised again that the body may come into the adoption. There when the law comes back in. As to the Jews coming. As to set up the earthly regime one more time, which will be the garden, even the millennium. Back to heaven again. See, so then we've escaped all of these things through our loving Savior, the Lord Jesus, who did it all for us. So we find ourselves as to what? Growing into something, yes. Growing in the sense that we work our way into it, no. Being tutored into it, yes. And yet, not to the extent that it is Christ that's revelating this to us. We have the mind of Christ as a little seed in our spirit. Bigger and greater it grows. Until finally it swallows up our inner man and then our outer man, the wisdom making our face to shine. So then in this, what are we doing? God has sent a preacher or a tutorer, and yet not him, but God said they shall be all taught of God. It shall not be him speaking, but Christ within him. Let the whole world keep silent. God is within his temple, whose temple ye are. So he's speaking. What is it? God revealing himself to you by words as to faith, to understanding the seed within you, till Christ be formed within you, swallow up the outer man to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that you no more live but Christ, that your world is no more but heaven. So then, you are everything, with everything, no problems anymore. Satan is gone. He can never touch you, for you keep yourself and the evil one touch you not. So then you are the beloved children of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It does not yet appear as to eyes what ye shall be like. You have to go through the change. All right, let me say just a few more words and we're going to close. I just wanted to express something tonight. So where is works? Paul said, where is boasting? It's gone by grace. The Jews that boasted in their works is gone. I fast twice a week. The other man said grace. And so he was blessed, sins forgiven. Entering into the rest of the Lord, knowing it's not by works, lest we would boast. I would not praise God if it was by works. I would say, I love you, Lord, but you know I'm deserving of it because I've done all these works so that I could be perfect. But I can't do that because all of my efforts are like filthy rags. I say, I love you, Lord, and I can't do nothing, nothing of my own. But by the grace of God, I thank you for giving the blood of your Son in my behalf that life might be with me forever. So then we find, beloved friend, that this thing is something to be revealed. Am I then going to be raptured? Am I then going to be caught away? Is then all these things going to happen to me? They are happening to me. Because that's what the revelation is. All of that is just something as to a natural concept. Does the walls exist? Does these things that we look at exist as lying vanities? Or is it a lying vanity? Is it but a shadow of that which is to come? See, what is it? I'm already everything that I could ever be because it's finished. I'm already in the place that I should be, and I've always been in it. So what is the thing about it? It's all a revelation. We're within the veil God rent. The veil has already been given to us. And as we're able to bear it in every generation according to the days of your life, as to the years of your life according to the calendar, you go through all of these ritualistics to keep your balance. God doesn't go through them to keep his balance. And so then, during the spirit of time, God is revealing it to you through types and shadows, schooling, college, all these other things. It's just God, the great world, the great life, the great revelation, revealing itself to you. So then what are we doing? We already are what we are by the grace of God. We already where we're going, but it must be revealed to us. I've already been healed by His stripes. I already have everything that pertains unto life. I have to be tutored to where I come to an understanding of it. And then I begin to believe. And as I begin to believe, then it comes to pass that that's what I am. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, this is the end of the world. Someone would say, but you said Calvary was the end of the world. I know. But when you come into the world, then you just know about Calvary. All the many hundreds of years, you wasn't around to know about it. Though it was already given to you as for your generation. Now you're coming to the generation, now you know about it. And being among the last of the generations, you know then that everything is gone and you're in Christ and all is well with you. And God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. So then what it is, it's the end time. God is moving the veil of your intellectual conflict of the infiltration of the tree of knowledge, that life may be revealed to you, that you are of the tree of life and that all things are yours and you belong to Christ. And so then shall he not freely with Christ give us all things? Oh, that is to say, as I'm able to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, the length, while I'm able to do this, given to me in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rent veil at Calvary, preached to me down through the church ages, comprehended by me in the end time, in that that's where I'm born, is to my generation. So, in this generation, the light is sevenfold. In the first generation, as from the church ages, it was one messenger, two messengers, three messengers, on and on as to those dimensional steps going to glory, as it was with Bethel and Jacob, as it was the angels descending on Jesus. So we've climbed higher and higher and higher into this great wonderful world. Now we're the ones of the end time, so we're getting it full force. We're getting the full message, the full revelation, because it must come in the end time, because you're going to bypass sleep, death, and be translated and be chained, that you should not go into coffins. But see, those that got it in dimensional parts couldn't do that. They had to die. They went by the way of the grave. See, understand it. We're not going to excel them as in the chains. For the dead in Christ shall rise first when we complete our course. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible said, console the brethren by telling them these things. And let me tell you again, I know that some of you don't understand. I know that some of you are not getting this. But I trust that somewhere some of them are getting it. Let's look at it one more time and close it. What is it then? It is your generation and you're born to the world. Then it is your ministers for that generation or minister, whatever it might be. And then comes your lesson and your tutoring, that you might know these things and these things might be detailed to you, that you might suddenly break through the veil. And these things begin to revelate. And then you're changed not from work to work, day to day, calendar dates to calendar dates, but you're changed from glory to glory, as from faith to faith, as you can believe. So then it's a revelation as to believe and then see and understand. And thus it is your world. As you think in your heart, so you are. And that's all it has ever been. It's what God has done. Satan cast out at Calvary, recording Revelation 12 in the end time. Why? Because for an earthly thing, it was at Calvary, it turned into a heavenly thing, and you went into heaven, and Satan is down there in the world with them out yonder, with their cursing and snorting and whatever. Lord of them that are in the earth, for he's among them. Here you are in heaven, away from all of that. He chose you out of it. See, and here we are over here. And it doesn't come back into view until the last 7 years as to the earthly perspective. And then it's recorded, Revelation 12, there to show the tribulation, the earthly perspective coming in, as to show what is taking place as to them that are coming in to see it. As to the Jews, it's never had it. But see, it happened back at Calvary. Healing happened back at Calvary. You may get a miracle tonight and be healed of cancer, but that happened at Calvary. It was back there that you were healed by a stripe. It was just that it was revealed to you here because you're just now born. You just now come to this. If you never come to it, you'll never get faith in it, and you'll never come to your healing. Faith by the hearing of the word as to the promises, and then you receive it, then you believe it, and then it happens. So all of God's doings, it is just merely being revealed to you from faith to faith. All of everything has nothing to do with times and seasons except as to natural man. It's been revealed to you, and as it is revealed as to whatever measure you can understand it, comprehend it, and believe it, that's the benefit to you. So then whatever has happened already happened. Jesus said it's finished. The world's gone. Everything's done. Everything's over for us. We made it. God brought us into it. And we're waiting for one thing, and that is to wit the redemption of our body, which comes in by the law. And the Jews will be coming in pretty soon. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that'll take care of it. So, translation into the kingdom in your spirit. The law and the prophets, since that time, the kingdom of God has been here. The kingdom of heaven has been here. And since that time, men have been translated into the kingdom of God, because the world is gone, and now to you and I, it's the kingdom of God. And we've been translated into the kingdom of God, thus choosing us out of the world. The world gone, now it's the kingdom of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thy kingdom is come, thy will be done. Preaching the kingdom of God. Men pressing their way into it. Thus it is the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and receive you the kingdom of God, as to be born of spirit, to be spirit to spirit, for flesh and blood can never inherit the kingdom of God. That's why he said to the Jews, my kingdom is not of this world. But we're children of the kingdom. And they shall come from the east and the west, set down in the place of the children of the kingdom as to the natural kingdom of David and the Jews. And they'll be out of the presence of God into the intellectual darkness. Can't find their way. God's sealing them until the Gentiles come in. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's two. The dark ages. The Holocaust. Because the blood was to be upon them and their children. But we came from the east, the west, the north, the Gentile. We sat down in the place of the children of the kingdom, as into a spiritual kingdom. So today we're the children of the kingdom. You love the Lord? You understand, God bless you. If you don't, God bless you. God help you. I hope you can understand, because I know what I'm saying tonight. I know that unless God reveals this to you, I know that you will never get this. But nevertheless, folks, it's got to come. Somebody's got to receive it. It's the end of the world and receive it. If when he said it's finished, that healed me, and yet in my generation I had to wait to get it, as to be tutored, as to believe it, then it's very obvious when he cast out Satan, it was to be manifested when it was understood and believed. If the world passed away at Calvary, it is understood that it can only be accepted when it is known, understood, and believed. And thus it become effective. You love the Lord? All of his works is finished. That's why I can confess my healing when you don't see it to be that way. That's why I can confess I'm a son of God when you look at me and you say, you're a son of man. But I say, it's already been done. Already been done. I can confess it. I'm not confessing a lie. It's already been done. I can say I've already been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting for a rapture. I've already been translated into the kingdom of God. It is true that I await my change. Job said, I await my change, which is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trumpet, as to the mysteries being finished, which we are approaching. For he shall descend from heaven, as with the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive shall be changed, then caught up to be with Christ. All right, let's stand together. We could go on and on. But my thought tonight as to this message is that it is finished. It is finished. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing together. My, how beautiful it is. How wonderful it is. How lovely. Remember when we said a few days ago, I said at this point, there'll be something that will come up as to a union between us and between Brother Branham's following that'll have to do with Billy Paul and them. And immediately Billy wrote that letter and said what he did concerning our ministry. that he was praying for us, that he wouldn't believe an accusation against us because he'd never known us to do anything that'd be contrary to those things. Believed in our minister, was praying for us. And when we went into Jeff, said, I'll announce to the brethren that you're here with your tent meeting. Received our brethren real well because it had to do with what we said about the revelation all along as to them having to do with the bodily part. When Brother Branham died, it was like Jesus that went away, and they being like the Jews, as with the quotas to the law, put themselves under condemnation and not being able to keep those things that Brother Branham so greatly had kept, and thus it caused their faith to dwindle away, and they got mixed up with all kind of things. And yet, the Bible said concerning the Jews, God blinded them in part till the fullness of the days of the Gentiles could come in, and that in so doing, that nothing was charged against them. So then we see the grace of God, how wonderful it is and how timely it is at the very time we said it. As to the spiritual perspective of it, it was exactly on time. So we're here tonight to worship the Lord. We're here tonight because this thing is real. And now everything is going just right. And I couldn't say this is Jeff because I didn't want to hurt anybody. I only told them I had seen a vision, but I couldn't tell them what kind of vision I'd had there on that ninth floor overlooking the Ohio River, praying, staying in and begging God to speak to me and show me the condition of Jeff. I looked, and this is the truth, so help me God. I looked, and I was with a group of people. And with this group of people, I was walking along. I wanted their fellowship. And I was walking along, and I looked, and it was like we'd come out of a house. And I was walking along, and all of a sudden I realized it was a little narrow fence, about so big where a couple of men could walk. And we were walking down through this little narrow fence to turn the corner and come over here and then around into a big open place over here. I can't see you very good out there because of the blinding of a light, but you can hear me. You can know what I'm saying. All right, now, before I got around into the opening, I looked, and this was a fence that was a steel wire, strong steel wire. And I said, oh my God, we're in prison. I said, Lord, we are in prison. So I walked with them. We went around and come into this opening. When we got around into this opening, then I said, my God. I looked, and they had on little bonnets like here on the top of the head, and they were going through a ritualistic. And this ritualistic was supposed to make them holy or four square in what they were doing. And I thought, well, that's not God. That's not Brother Branham. That's not his way at all. But these people, these young men, they really thought they were following Brother Branham. And they really thought that what they were doing was of God and of Brother Branham. In the vision, it definitely was not. And they had convinced themselves so thoroughly that they were following Brother Branham, and they thought they were in training as to grow up in the things that Brother Branham was in, and they thought they were in training. And they started making fun of me. I started doing certain things there, and they started making fun of me like I was all out of shape. And I said, brethren, you shouldn't do that. I said, I've been in the ministry for over 30 years, and I've been trying to win souls, and this is the way you win souls. And they mocked it. And I thought, well, I might as well get out of here. You know, I can't do nothing here. And I started out, and when I did, I went over to a fence, and I tried to get through this fence. And then I found a door that was open. I got through that door, and then I found another fence as to a prison. I started through that one, and I couldn't get it open. It was locked. And then all of a sudden, a young man from among them that had the same little bunny, had the same clothing, he come over to where I was. And this is what he said. He said, your mother said, I talked to your mother, and your mother is waiting for you. He said, and I'm going with you. Said, because she said I could come with you over to her place. And he grabbed a hold of that door, and I grabbed a hold of it, and we broke that door, and out we went. And we went out of that prison. And I come out of it and I said, God, what is this? I don't understand this. What is this? And then it come to me, the elders died in the wilderness. The wilderness wandering of the intellectual wandering. And that those people had deceived themselves. And that they wasn't following Brother Branham at all. It wasn't his life, nor his way, nor his message, nor anything else that had to do with Brother Branham. And they were deceived. And that they were not in training. It showed clearly in the vision they were not doing anything for God. And I said, my God, And I thought, well, this young man that come out, what is this? And something come to me like this. The eldest died in the wilderness, but the children went over. And I thought, well, what is this about my mother? And I heard a voice say, Heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, the church hath need of thee. The church is called for thee, that you should not be in prison. It desires thy service. And that is to the young man also, that this young man, it was calling for him as to the youth across the Jordan, as to get over the intellectual mind. I couldn't tell them people that over there, even though I told them of a vision. I couldn't tell them that because I didn't go there to hurt them or whatever. But brethren, it was exactly like the Lord showed, going to preach to the souls in prison. And as to the third time into Jeff and what it had to do with. So that means that something is taking place. And the true believers, as to the true following of Brother Branham or Paul or anybody else, is coming in this latter time into the wonderful change. Which change is here. It's right at hand. How will it be? By faith. By faith of the revelation, of the revealed. By faith. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean that it's already happened. It'll be preached to you. You'll come to the knowledge of it. You'll believe it. And then you'll find out that you've already made it. You'll find out that you already made it. And nothing but the change is waiting as to the body. As the Thessalonians change. See, the flesh profiteth nothing. You'll find out that the whole thing is a revelation. It's always been a revelation. And now we're coming to it because that's the end of the world. That is the end of the world. It passed there at Calvary. It was finished and now it's revealed to you. That it's been over all these times. All these times, as we say. One messenger, another messenger, another messenger. All these church age times. It has already been finished. So all the time it's been over. See, but your generation, your birth, and then you comprehended as to the tutoring. Because the sevenfold light is to you. Because you're the last generation that's to come in. As we would say to these that's coming. Alright, so it's beautiful to know what God has done. And especially if you can love the Lord and come into these wonderful things. To be partakers of the wonderful benefits. And I say again, as to the satellite broadcast of this going up as the message. 22,000 miles above the earth. Has to do with the symbolic thing of the child being caught up. And the voice to all the North American continent. As to bring this to those that can hear. Having ears to hear. And those that are the children of the resurrection. That this may come together collectively speaking. That we might be partakers of the great benefit of God. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? So then Enoch was translated by faith. It wasn't days and times and years and seasons. Paul brings it all the way from the New Testament, Old Testament to the New. And he shows that we're not under the law, even as Enoch was not under the law. So there's no law, there's no transgression. The law works wrath, there's no wrath to us. We pass from death unto life because transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of sin is death. And there's no transgression because there's no law. And there is no sting because there's no sin, and that sin is transgression. And so now we see that we are alive forevermore, the tree of life from Calvary, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the axe laid to the root of the tree, and that generation, even the law and the prophets, folded up and laid away, as all the way back to the garden expulsion. So from here out, it's the light. Moses seeing behind the part of God, just being able to see to Calvary, and from Calvary all the way back to Genesis. But he couldn't see anything else. Still, the veil. The veil, even between Moses and the people. But on this side, it's not the veil. He hath rent the veil in two. It's finished. And now we're children of light. We're seeing him face to face and not through the glass darkly of the intellectual concept of sin and problems. But we see clearly as beholding his face to be changed in that very image, the light of the world greater than that of the former house, even the Jew, which was veiled. And now the veil is gone, but the great light is dissipated. And that intellectual infiltration as to the veil within the flesh is gone, because the veil as to the body, as to death, as to the infiltration, it is gone, it's buried, the body of that death. And now your spiritual children is born to the Spirit, dwelling in heaven, seeing this great light. The veil has been taken away. You've entered into the secret chambers of the mother as Rebecca. The veil is gone. And now you look into the face of Isaac, the promised one, and you become one as that light and strength changes you, but transformation of mind into the very glory of that one that you love. So it's wonderful to know that we pass from death unto life. And that we belong to Him. and that he belongs to us. That we are the children of light and that we are one with him. To love him, to love him with all of your heart, to love him with all of your mind, to love him with all of your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. See, having entered into the secret chambers of the Heavenly One, go not forth and say he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not, for as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, which means the light most precious. But the thing is, the secret chambers is where you're already at, which is in the Mother's secret chambers, which is heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, because Sarah was a typical thing of heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, even the son of promise and of Rebekah, who had to do with the bride, the veil being removed, we now see face to face. Let's sing a little chorus together. The veil being removed, the beauty of Rebekah showed. And the veil being removed, then it wasn't Israel trying to find the face of Moses through the veil, but it was, as to the prophet likened to Moses, the veil being gone, the Shekinah that was hid by the veil, Jesus, the body gone, the Christ. We look right straight into that revelational spirit, that wonderful revelational spirit of Christ himself. And so then we don't have the veil between us and the bridegroom, as Israel did between them and their God, Moses. That is, the intellectual has been taken away, and it's not there anymore, because we believe and we don't have to work, and we know our sins are gone. So then the sins was the veil of infiltration that caused the problem in the body. But the body will be redeemed, as to the change of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, the innocent one, in the image in which it was made in the garden, even the Son of God, whose image ye are. All right, let's sing together. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, I'll remove this darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God. My sins are gone, can you see me? Father, underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary,
as far removed that darkness
is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. Sing it again. Are there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary,
has all removed that darkness is from dawn.
In the sea of God's forgetfulness, good enough for me, praise God, my sins are gone. Are your sins gone tonight, or are you still carrying them around? Somebody says, Brother Pike, I sin every day. Well, that means you are of the devil every day. But you that live holy every day, that means you are of God. Somebody says, well, I still got my sins, Brother Pike. Well, you need to be born again, and then your sins can be gone. Messiah made an end of sin. And if he made an end of sin, he said it is finished. And since it was finished, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. He finished. He made an end of sin. If then he made an end of sin, who can find sin? Someone would say, they're sinning agenda. But I tell you again, the blood took away the sins of the world. He made an end of sin. If those people were sinning in his sight out there, he'd tear them to pieces. He's angry with the wicked every day. At this point, he doesn't see any of their sins. But beloved friend, when the earthly perspective comes back in, and you are sealed away into glory, then that which is there will come before him, and then it will be made manifest in the natural earth, as to the natural people that he hath made an end of sin, for he will smite it. The brightness of his coming will cause it to disintegrate, to dissipate, to pass away into nothing. It will be the manifesto as to the end of sin. Can you sing another song or two with me? The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Thought I saw Brother Lamar Couch back there. I couldn't be real sure, but it looked like that he'd come in back there for a little while. Let's sing I Love Him, can you? Folks, this is the truth. These things are the truth. It's not something that I've guessed at or something that perhaps will be this way or maybe, you know, you can reason it out and perhaps it's wrong. It's right. It's absolutely right. It's thus saith the Lord. It'll be that way. There won't be any change in it. That's the way it will be. And if you want to be part of it, then there's only one thing that you can do, and it's cease from your efforts and enter into his rest. He swore that they that came out of Egypt would not enter into Canaan as to his rest, because they murmured and complained, and because of their unbelief as to him handling the situation and overcoming the giants, they failed because of unbelief. Ye beware lest an evil heart of unbelief be found in you, and you come short of entering into his rest. So then, let's enter into his rest. Believe what he said. Believe his prophets and prosper. Believe his word and enter into his rest. For with the heart, man believeth his way unto righteousness. And God purifies his heart by faith unto sanctification, that he might live in it as a spiritual God, ruling from the throne of his heart, redeeming the body, in that the dispute is over the body. And this is like heaven to me. And this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Sing it with me now. We're shouting the victory. We're shouting the victory. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. One more time. And this is like heaven to me. And this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. When we leave the sanctuary, you don't leave the presence of God. Remember, there are some that are illuminated like the woman in Revelation 12. They're in the presence of grace. They're in the presence of grace. They're illuminated with the presence of grace. It is a garment of illumination in that God does not see their sins. But beloved friend, you're not illuminated, you're born of grace. And when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, it'll have no effect on you. But that illumination will be gone as the sun, the day star goeth down, and night cometh upon all people. So shall it be upon them, and their beautiful garment will be gone. As it was with Cinderella at the midnight cry. She was all prettied up. Chariots. All the beauties. But when night come, the illumination was gone. The sun goes down. And then the chariot turned into a pumpkin. The horses into mice. The little story says. And her beautiful garments into rags. And she fled. But with you it shall not be so. As it was in the end when Prince Charming found her, as among all the sisters that had dressed up so pretty, Yet when he found her as the little girl that had the dishpan hands, there was something on the inside that related to him, which was her love. Which was her love. Like a young man talking to a young woman, when he's in love with her, he can say the same thing to many women, and she can say the same thing to many men, but it doesn't have any connection. There's not any feeling. See, it's just words. But when he says it to her, and she says it back to him, there's an invisible force whereby their spirits and hearts become entwined, and the whole atmosphere is illuminated with love and with the satisfaction of the joy of living. That is the way it is with God. When God is speaking, you become entwined, and the innermost begins to relate to it. It's not a knowledge of good and evil that brings you into death because you can't perform it, as to the pumpkins and the rags. But what it is, it's under eternal life as the little glass slipper. As the little glass slipper. It fits your soul as the preparation of the gospel. See, it fits your soul. And when he speaks to you, it's not something that is hard to perform or something that you dread. It is a joy. It is a delight because he is your heart and you want to be just like him, just one with him. That's your whole heart's desire. And that greatness that's emanating from his spirit into your spirit takes your inner angelic person, and thus you become one in his strength, one in his confidence, one in his security to believe all is well as long as he is there, that everything is well with you. And you become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that the spirit that is within you or whatever is of a nature, and that nature is of him. We're partakers of his divine nature. Thus it makes our stature to be his perfect, glorified garments that's not rags, but the beautiful wedding garment as to the body of his own son. The most beautiful, radiant ones that shall outshine the noonday sun. So then, while you are here, when you leave, remember, this illumination does not leave you, though you may be oppressed. Your mind may be oppressed because Satan seeks to trample down the mind of humanity with the accusations and with oppressions of mind. But beloved friend, you're not in the body, you're not in the flesh. Those are not charged against you. It's not you that doeth it, but sin in the body, and it's dead because of sin. And the body hath no power over you, and you're dwelling in heaven as in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God is in you, if you have not His Spirit, then you are none of His. So while we're standing here with our hands up and our eyes closed, let's think about Jesus. As Richard the Jew comes tonight, let's think about Jesus. Can you think about Jesus? Can you think that you're one with Him, that you're in heaven, that you made it, that you escaped sin and death, and that you're His precious child? Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? He already sons and daughters. Now, beloved, already. If you already are sons of God, then that means you already are gods. If you're already gods, you can't die. And as the princess went to sleep, and the great prince gave her the kiss that awoke her from death, so has God pressed his lips to our lips, even as Elijah did the dead child. And the kiss of charity has taken away our sins as to being his beloved, as Solomon said. And so then death hath no power. We have awakened from the deep sleep of death to sleep no more as to death. And it won't be long he'll be coming. And then we'll realize what he hath done for us. As our brother comes, let's acknowledge the Lord tonight. And let's go away praising the Lord. Staying filled with the Spirit that we might be blessed of God. Brother Richard.